For news 24 hours a day, go to cbsnews.com.
For nowadays.
Just a second. Miss Hefner. Miss Hefner.
That's yes. Where it was.
You want to tell me how you got involved in this car business with these two miscreants?
Well, it goes back to a lot longer than what they're stating.
Let's see.
Basically, I found
I don't
them.
Want to hear back okay. long. I don't care how you found her on Facebook, on Twitter, on iCloud, on iTunes. It doesn't matter to me. I want you to get to the car.
She called me up and said their car broke down again. She would try to call her relatives and ask for co-signers, and Tracy wouldn't sign for her.
That's a lie.
That is not a lie.
Do you? I don't want you to speak unless I'm looking at you. Do you understand?
Yes,
first,
ma'am.
I was looking at you, and I tried to get an answer from you,
yes,
and I got a lot of stuff that I didn't understand and that didn't make sense to me.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
Then I moved my attention over to this side. Now you have to be quiet.
Anyway, I had heard that their car had broken down because she had told
just
me.
Just a second.
Sure.
Did you hear it from them?
Yes, I did hear it from them.
From whom?
From Roxanne.
What did she say to you?
She said their car had broken down and Ricky stranded in it, and she was worried about him because of his health.
What's wrong with his health?
He had had kidney cancer.
Okay. Go ahead.
Anyway, she said it was broken down. They didn't know what they were going to do, and she would try to call her relative and try to get another car, and maybe someone would co-sign for her. And I said, and I was really sorry they didn't have a vehicle. I know what it's like not to have a vehicle and to be ill and not make your appointments. And Carol and I, she has witnessed this whole thing. She used to be her teacher, too. And they were like family to us back then and now. And we wanted to help them get a car so they would be able to get to the store, get to the appointments, get him to the doctor, and take care of their needs.
Okay. So what happened?
So Carol and I drove down there, and we talked.
Drove down to where?
To their house. And we said that there were some dealers down there that would sell inexpensive cars that we thought would be a reliable, dependable car for them. And they knew we were coming.
Don't tell me what they knew. So you went down there.
We went
down there.
Who
went to the dealerships?
All four of us went to the dealers.
Did you find a car?
Whose idea was it?
I don't want to hear from you until I look at you. I don't care whose idea it was.
But you're making it out to be that.
I don't care whose idea it was.
That's not how it was.
We did not ask her.
I don't care whose idea it was. When I'm interested in something that you have to say, I will look at you and I'll ask you a question. And then you'll answer my question with a yes or a no if you can. And if I need a more elaborate answer, I'll ask you for it. So far, the four of you went to a car dealership. That I believe. I don't care whose idea it was. Now, when you got to the car dealership, did you ultimately co-sign for a car for them?
Yes, I did.
Who else signed for it?
I signed it first because his credit wouldn't run through, and they ran it through on mine, and he co-signed. We had their word that they would pay for it.
And we would if you'd let us have a van.
That's not true.
That is true. I told you that on the phone, too.
Wait just a second.
And you said we didn't have the van.
Listen to me. There's something absolutely wrong with you.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is. There is something wrong with your brain. Because I've said to you four times, she's going to tell her story. When I look over to you and I ask you a question, you'll answer it. Other than that, don't speak. Do you understand it now?
Yes.
Great.
Here are the loan papers.
Ricky co-signed for the car. That would be you, Ricky.
Yes, Your Honor.
Now I'll look at what you have to show me.
The loan papers.
So you financed $5,000 to buy this. And what were you going to pay a month, Ricky?
I don't even have a clue, Your Honor.
You want to see what you agreed to?
Was it $230?
No. You look at me.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want to see what you agreed to? Because your name is on here.
I know I signed that. Yes, ma'am.
Of course you know you signed it.
You signed
it. Who drove off with the van?
It broke down.
Shh.
When we drove
I'm
off
not
the lot.
Looking at you.
When we drove off the lot, it broke down.
I'm asking you who drove it off the lot.
I did.
That's what I asked you. Now, you drove it off the lot. You weren't co-signing for a car for her.
No, ma'am.
She was going to co-sign so that you could have a van.
Yes, ma'am.
That's better. Now, do you want to see what you were supposed to pay a month, or do you know?
I know now.
How much?
$230.
Correct. How long, Ricky, so that you know I'm not looking at you, how long did you have this van in your possession?
30 minutes.
30 minutes?
I don't think it was 30 minutes.
No. I'm asking you in total.
Total?
How long did you have this van in your possession?
An hour.
1 hour. So if I were to call Motors, they are going to tell me that within the hour of you driving off the lot, you brought it back.
That's correct.
Okay.
It broke down, so they towed it. The next day, they called me to come in and get it. I drove it around the block. It broke down, so I pulled it up at their garage.
And you left it there?
That's correct.
And you never picked it up?
That's correct.
Okay. And so what did you do?
I left it there because the salesman tried to catch the mechanic, and the mechanic flipped him off or something. He said, wait till Monday. Monday called me and said it was the head on it, and it sounded internal to me, so I didn't really want to buy junk. And in the first place, it was her idea for us to sign.
Don't tell me her idea. I don't want to hear her idea. So this is what you're telling me. If I believe you, that you drove the car off the lot.
Yes, ma'am.
It broke down. They fixed it. You took it out again. You drove around the block. And something else happened to it, and you went back, and you left the car there, and you never took it out again.
Yes, ma'am.
And you never made another payment on it.
Yes, ma'am.
You have no responsibility for anything that she was charged out of pocket because she was the primary on the loan.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that what you think?
No, I'm kind of confused here because I love the people.
I want you to listen to me, so I'm going to try to unconfuse you.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
What did you do with the van?
It stayed there.
You left it there, and you left.
Now, can I say something, please?
No, I don't want to hear you anymore. Go get a job. Get a job.
And later today...
What restaurant do you work in, sir?
I don't want to say the name.
Why? I'm going to tell all the patrons they can come in and stiff you. And they're still going to get good service.
Exactly.
And enough people are going to do that, and I guarantee you, Mr. Ballard, it's going to irritate you.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Sandra Hafner says former student Roxanne Cash and her husband Ricky owe for a van she helped them buy.
Let's say, sir, do you have a job?
Ma'am, I'm disabled.
Does she have a job?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so neither one of you has a job where a company can garnish you your salary, where they can get a judgment against you.
Yes, ma'am.
Unfortunately for you, you can't buy a van unless somebody else puts up their credit. So you can do that. You couldn't buy it alone unless you wanted to pay cash for it.
She said her credit would get better and mine would be great if I did this.
Listen to me.
I didn't want to do this in the first place.
You what?
I did not want to sign this. I have
You're 44 years old?
Yes, ma'am.
Then you don't sign it.
I shouldn't have.
Then you don't sign it because by signing it, not only are you obligating yourself, but you're obligating somebody else. But in your case and in your wife's case, neither one of you has any source of income so that you can't be attached. The only one who can is the person who was doing a good deed and saying, I really want you to have a car, be able to get around. Your car broke down, so I'm going to put myself on the line for you. And then you don't like the car anymore. Now, you may have had totally good reason not to want this car anymore. That's between you and the dealership. You made it. Put your hand down. You made it between her and the dealership instead of it being you and the dealership. It was your car. It wasn't her car. It was your car. You got a problem with the dealership. Take care of it.
Ma'am, she said if I told her we'd pay for it, if we could have the van, she said we couldn't have it.
Because she didn't.
Because she's afraid it would break down again with the kids in the car. So that's, I would pay for it. We have children.
How many?
We have teenagers.
We have teenagers, and I have my niece. She's 11.
Okay. Can I say something?
That's why she wouldn't give us the van, or I would pay for it.
Can I say something?
Would you?
I mean, I would have.
You would have?
Yes, ma'am.
So why didn't you pick it up?
She wouldn't give it to us.
Just a minute. It was at the dealership. You said it.
She wouldn't give it to us.
We didn't have the keys.
We don't have the keys. I don't have nothing for it.
She's had the keys the whole time, and she called.
She got it legal.
That's not true.
She called and said,
No, just a second. I was hearing that you drove around the car. You dropped it off once. It broke down.
Test drive.
No.
Yes,
not. It wasn't a test drive. That wasn't a test drive. These papers were already signed.
Yes, ma'am.
That's not a test.
Okay, ma'am.
And it broke down. You brought it back. They said they fixed it. They called you. You came. You picked it up again. You drove it around the block, and you said it broke down again, and you drove it back, and you said a mechanic waved you off and said, I can't see it until Monday. What did you do with the van?
It stayed there.
You left it there. Yes. And you left. And according to you...
With her.
No.
They told us to.
That's not what he said.
They told us to.
No. What he said was he left it at the shop.
He
left
it at the
shop. They said, take
it
over there and we'll make sure this
make it right.
They
were going to fix it.
They never did.
No. Can I say something, please?
No. I don't want to hear you anymore. Go get a job. Get a job.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today...
What you did was say to the landlord, it's not her apartment. I'm only going to be there part of the time, and I'm not going to pay you at all. Outrageous, Mr. Ballard. And I'm going to tell you something. You're really not cute.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Sandra Hafner says former student Roxanne Cash and her husband Ricky owe for a van she helped them buy.
Now, how much were the payments that you made on their behalf before the van was sold?
$1,402.24.
Judgment for the plaintiff. That's all. Step out.
Parties are excused when they step out.
Got convinced. Talked into getting a co-signer. We did.
We really were convinced they were trying to make a go of it.
She told us not to worry about it anymore.
They'd been in trouble with the law.
Because she couldn't trust the vehicles.
And it seemed like they really weren't making an effort.
So that's what I did. I went on her word, and here we are.
Now, I wanted to help him because he was ill.
Never go back to the past.
Look after myself only.
Because all you get is dirty.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Adams versus Ballard. Step forward, please.
20-year-old Emily Adams is suing ex-roommate Trenard Ballard for eviction fees resulting from his refusal to pay rent.
Miss Adams, you and the defendant rented an apartment together.
Yes, Your Honor.
You were evicted from that apartment based on non-payment of rent.
Yes.
You incurred certain eviction fees, and you want the defendant to be responsible for all the eviction fees, but he's at least responsible for half, because according to you, the reason you were evicted from the apartment was that Mr. Ballard stopped paying his rent.
Yes, ma'am.
How much were the eviction fees?
About $1,800.
Show me.
Okay. This is the check right here. And the eviction receipt.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Actually, $1,900. Okay, Mr. Ballard. When did you sign this lease with Miss Adams?
June of 2011.
And you stopped paying rent when?
October of 2011, I do believe.
Why did you stop paying rent?
Because I didn't stay at the apartment half the time, simply because every time I was at the apartment, I felt that she was overbearing. She didn't agree on the way we, like, lived in the house. And just passive-aggressive things that she would do that kept made me feel uncomfortable.
I don't care.
I didn't delete.
The law doesn't care whether you feel uncomfortable,
okay,
sir. Actually, your mother cares that you're uncomfortable. Your father may care if you're uncomfortable. Brothers, sisters, friends, other people. The law doesn't care. The lease doesn't care if you felt uncomfortable, so you only stay there half the time. You were responsible under a lease to pay your part of the rent. So the next time you rent an apartment with somebody, maybe you'll figure out a better fit. But in this regard, nothing that you've said to me, other than the fact that you felt uncomfortable, which is not a legal excuse in the law, allows you not to pay rent. And because you didn't pay your rent, she got evicted. And she had to pay the landlord $1,900. You think that that's fair?
Well, I strongly feel that since I wasn't there half the time, I don't...
What about the half the time you were there?
Well, I did pay up to then, so I guess that's why.
Ugh.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by... Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Listen, do you work?
Yes, I do.
What do you do?
I'm a server.
When you serve somebody in a restaurant, do you expect to get a tip?
Depending on my service, yeah.
Well, if you don't get a tip from somebody... And you've done reasonable service for them. Do you get angry?
No.
No. You mean to tell me that if somebody came into your place regularly, because you're going to play with me, Mr. Ballard, but you're going to lose. If somebody came into your restaurant where you were a server regularly, and you regularly gave them good service, and they regularly stiffed you, are you telling me that that wouldn't bother you?
No.
Mr. Ballard, there's really only one winner here. Because you just made yourself look foolish. What restaurant do you work in, sir?
It's a restaurant. I don't want to say the name.
Why? I asked you what name it is. I'm going to tell all the patrons they can come in and stiff you. And they're still going to get good service.
Exactly.
Right. Well, that I want to know the name of the restaurant.
Shay-Z.
Enough people are going to see you there, and just for sport, just to see how you react,
well,
they're going to stiff you. Because they're going to say, we saw you on Judge Judy. And you said it really didn't matter to you whether you gave good service or bad service.
Well,
you would not get angry if you got stiffed at the end of a meal. And enough people are going to do that. And I guarantee you, Mr. Ballard, it's going to irritate you.
Well,
so I told you, there's only one winner here. That's me. You owe her half of $1,900. And because I think you probably owe her more than half of the $1,900, I'm awarding her $1,000. Because but for the fact that you stopped paying her rent, she could have lived there. Because what you did was say to the landlord, it's not her apartment. I'm only going to be there part of the time, and I'm not going to pay you at all. Outrageous, Mr. Ballard. And I'm going to tell you something. You're really not cute. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $1,000. That's
thank
all.
You.
Isaac, excuse. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
How many members of your family that are on the police force?
Like three.
You know something? How did I know
that? I do not know that.
Because otherwise, your behind would have been in jail.
Next Judge Judy.
It's just certain things that would go on.
The only reason that I was trying to get a hold of him,
like calling my friends, trying to figure out where I am.
To call his friends was because we were getting an eviction notice.
Leaving notes.
The notes that I did leave him was to please pay his rent.
Certain little things that just escalated to something bigger.
Judge Judy's pretty awesome.
She's the judge, and I guess what she says goes.
For throwing that in his face, I think he needed that.